broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founders absolutely brilliant and the great way to restore the freest, most prosperous, best country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. It is Valentine's Day Eve, so y'all ought to go out and get something for your loved one. A lot of people believe it's not a real holiday. It's a Hallmark holiday. Can't deny that. However, it is a chance to really remember who matters most in your life. You can take that to the bank. And boy, do we need a lot more remembrances of those that are important in our lives. We need those opportunities to strengthen and preserve relationships without a doubt. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're doing fantastic. A quick recap of Friday's show. Speaking of Valentine's, George and Amal Clooney. They're expecting twins and they're super excited about it. Imagine a married couple in the actor-actress world. Married, happy, having twins, and delighted about it. Isn't that great news? Also, Beyonce on Sunday, I guess, performed. I guess she's pregnant with twins, too. So you know what? Good for them. Good for having children. Good for getting married and staying married and loving one another. I like it. We need more of it. Matt Damon almost started crying about the George Clooney baby news. Jessica Sager wrote the piece. Good for all them, you know? And they say it's big league, or bigly, as some like to say. Donald really means big league, folks. He's saying how huge, how epic it's going to be. Trump promises a phenomenal tax cut plan for businesses in the next coming weeks. We pray he abolishes the IRS. If you want to get big league, it doesn't get any more big league than that, does it? Just to shut down the hostile, unconstitutional, satanic IRS. All right, just saying. People stop trying to save money on groceries when they use food stamps. Out comes a new study. Yeah, boy, is that true. When it's not your own money, you don't care as much anymore, do you? Plus, you steal. Thou shalt not steal is one of the most critical realities of our time. We also talked to our guest, Mr. Jeremy Corden. He's sales and marketing department head for the UPMA.org website. That's the United Precious Metals Association, UPMA.org. Boy, do they do a great job up there. They're talking about the Utah bill, HB 0224. It's currently on hold. They're working out some details of the bill, but we're standing more and more and more for constitutional currency. Utah's leading the way. And boy, do we need our buddy Larry Hilton, who put the bill together to get a sit-down with Donald Trump to stand for honest money in America again. That was hour one. Hour two on Friday. Yikes, it's the Trumpigator, they're all saying. You had too much self-tanning lotion. There was a huge alligator that's, I guess, orange. It's puzzling residents. And I guess another 250-pound gator visits front porch of South Carolina home. So the gators are everywhere. And the IRS is kind of like the gators, isn't it? All right, Uncle Jay presents the not funny truth about our useless Congress. We pay them over $14,000 a month each to literally screw us and betray us, and they don't even work most of the year. Did you know that, by the way? Do you realize that Congress works from between 110 to 130 days a year is about all? Oh, yeah, they work like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oftentimes they leave early. Monday and Friday are considered travel days. Half the time they're supposed to be home working in their districts. But, you know, it's usually on holidays and when none of us want to interact with them anyway. So they, you know, get on floats and celebrate holidays and look good when they're at home. But they avoid the real work of dealing with us. In fact, if you don't believe me, your congressman or senator is supposed to represent you, right? Well, try to get an appointment with them and see what representation you have, okay? I'm a nationally syndicated, well-known talk show host. well-known constitutional public speaker as well. I can't get a hold of my congressman or senator. They don't really have time for me. Really. I try to get them on the radio with us, and they're like, you know what? We're super busy. Even when I call them about their issues, they don't have time for me. All they want me to do is read their stuff, applaud when they look good, and send them money. All right. Trump must break judicial power, writes Pat Buchanan, and boy, is he spot on. The judiciary is out of control. The way to stop it in an instant, though, is the constitutional provision. Judges are there upon good behavior. You need to impeach them when they take the law into their own hands and violate the checks and balances so wisely put in place by our founding fathers. Richard Mack was back in D.C. on Friday, jumps on air to update us on his progress. He had some incredible meetings, went on the Tom Hartman show, had some good meetings with some media folks, a guy over at the Washington Post. A lot of good stuff happened, a strategy meeting to take place this week for more updates on what's happening with thefreedomcoalition.com. We also talked about the U.S. military, deadly airstrikes on the military are wrong. Thousands have gone unreported. The mainstream press isn't reporting them. They like to mock Trump when they claim he says things that are not true. But you know what? Kellyanne Conway was wise when she said, we're talking about alternate facts here. Oftentimes, there is a different viewpoint on a story. It doesn't mean it's wrong or there's not truth to it. The mainstream press loves to play games with the truth, don't they? Now, let's just talk to them about honest money if we want to get to the truth. Let's talk to them about thou shalt not steal if we want to start talking about their alternate facts. Pretty soon you'd be shutting down government education and welfare and everything else because we believe in not stealing. And to suggest otherwise is their version of alternate facts, huh? Isn't it now? Right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Friday. It is available on demand on your Roku player. Look for the Liberty News Radio channel free. Live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. Also available at libertyroundtable.com. Tell all your friends. All right, news the networks refuse to use starts now. Kirk Crosby with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. It is Monday. He's back on your radio. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. It is good to be with you.
They call us racist. I don't know why they do that. There's no evidence or truth to it. But again, they seem to have their ultimate or alternate fact reality. Nevertheless, they claim we're racist just because we believe that white people have a place at the table, too. Strange, but there you go. However, we're going to talk about your right to keep and bear arms, folks. Yeah, and we're going to do it in a very appropriate way. First off, we're going to tell you a quick update on what happened in Kansas. We briefed everybody last week on it, but a quick recap of that. Cox and Kettler did get convicted. They are serving no jail time whatsoever. The bottom line, though, is the judge abused them pretty bad, gave them some fines. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association paid Kettler's fine. And we're working on raising money to pay Cox's fine as well. Bottom line is both of them have probation. That's not the bad part. Okay? The fact that they walked free, that's great news. We are celebrating that. The reason we're so discouraged and distraught about this, and the reason that we're pursuing legal action and pardon action for these gentlemen is because, for example, in Kettler's case, he's a military vet and he has a pension. But now that he's a felon, he loses his pension. So even though we paid the fine there and we're trying to help out the best we can, Richard Mack, Chris Ann Hall, many other people have reported live on the radio from the courthouse steps and were there for the sentencing. The judge was out of control and scolded the audience that was in the room, acting like he was for constitutionality. What a disgrace. Nevertheless, we are pursuing all kinds of options to help them. And it was a win because at least they're not in jail. But it was sad because, you know what, the pension, the guy has no way to support himself now. And so that's going to be a tough road to hoe. That's the update on Cox and Kettler. However, Cox and Kettler are only two of the most recent victims of your government, even though they're supposed to support the right to keep and bear arms, and that will not be infringed or shall not be infringed. The Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, is the ultimate. Some would call it civil right. I would call it unalienable, God-given, fundamental right of self-defense. It isn't even about guns, folks, because I should be able to defend myself in whatever means I find. Let's say we find something even more lethal than a gun. That should be at my defense disposal as well. So with that brief introduction, Lowell, welcome to the broadcast. That's an update on Kettler and Cox, though.
Right. I appreciate that, Sam. Good to know. Now, if that reminds me, you know, you mentioned that the judge scolded the ones in attendance at the courthouse. That reminds me, there was a judge in Utah several years ago now who scolded the brother of a deer hunter, and that was caught on video. The video was circulated among Utahns, and that judge lost her seat in the following retention.
We got to make that happen ASAP for this judge. He's out of control. Quick pause. Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Second Amendment, the ultimate civil right, ladies and gentlemen. It is indeed Black History Month. So it's a great time to review the Second Amendment and how valuable it has been in the civil rights movement. Most people don't realize that. So I want to challenge these fake news thugs out there that have their alternative facts by omission, to say the least. Let's bust out and talk about Black History Month. Let's do it in a way that's appropriate, that is founding father-esque, that understands the proper role of limited government and the God-given unalienable right of self-defense, Lowell.
Yes, I'm eager to jump into that, Sam. Right after I mentioned this judge, I just looked it up, Sam. The judge name was Leslie Lewis, occurred in October 2006. I'm even looking back. It said the Salt Lake Tribune's editorial board believes that Third District Judge Leslie A. Lewis fails the test of judicial temperament and that the people should vote no to retaining her on the bench. And then the whole article talks about more of the details of how she was rude and insulting, you know, to the brother of a person alleged to have poached a deer. And the result of that, it was that in November of 2006, Judge Leslie Lewis was not retained on the bench here in Utah, and a replacement was found for her seat. Now, the reason I mentioned this, Sam, and make a point of it, before jumping into some history related to Black history, is that I think people need to know that it really is possible to oust a judge who doesn't deserve or is not making the appropriate decisions and conducting himself or herself appropriately as a judge on the bench. It's pretty rare. I grant you that. It is rare. But here in Utah, we have these retention elections. Every 4 years, a judge faces a retention election, which basically means people have a chance to say, yes, I want to keep the judge, or no, I don't want to keep the judge on the bench. And I think if more people were attentive to how a judge behaves on the bench and the way that the judge rules and so forth, we would be able to weed out more of the judges who are either incompetent or uncivil toward the citizenry. So I just thought I'd mention that, Sam, and encourage our listeners, regardless of where you live, to take a greater interest, a keener interest in the judges that that rule in citizen cases in your state. I hope that Kansas has something, and we can never underestimate the power of a YouTube video, because it was that YouTube video showing how this judge acted in the courtroom that was circulated so widely in the state of Utah in 2006, which resulted in the ouster of this judge, Sam.
And every time what this really takes is good, honest Americans to watch their servants and to be proactive about when they're obeying the rule of law, when they're following the separation of powers, then you know what? They deserve our support and our appreciation for their service. When they don't, we need to absolutely find somebody who will. It's not hostile. It's just a simple, clear reality check on the proper role of limited government. And if we guard it jealously, and if we're actively involved and anxiously engaged, then good things happen. And if we're not, we end up with what we've got today, Lowell. It's that simple.
Well put. Sam, now jumping into Black history, I think and the reason I bring this to the table this morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, you know they say you're a racist because you're white and you're bringing up Black history, right?
Yeah, except in this case, I do so in admiration.
And you do so in defense of all Americans.
Absolutely, yes. I admire the anybody, regardless of color, I admire anyone who stands up for his rights and to defend himself and his family and his property. That's a God-given, like you said earlier, Sam, that's a God-given, inalienable right. In other words, a right you can't be alienated from. No one can put a lien on that right because it's simply preserving one's life and one's property. And we're highlighting, at least I'm highlighting what some of our Black leaders have done throughout history, but of any color, of any race, of any nation, I would do so because I think it's such an important right to exercise. And so we start out with a fellow named John R. Salter Jr., and I didn't know about this, this gentleman before yesterday or before this weekend as I was preparing for the show, but this story can be found on campaignforliberty.org. John R. Salter Jr. was a civil rights leader who helped organize these nonviolent sit-ins against segregation in Jackson, Mississippi in the 1960s, right? So this is back in the time of Martin Luther King, when civil rights was a huge issue, a national issue here in the United States. And Salter recalls he was always traveling armed while doing civil rights work in the South, in the Jim Crow South. And he had a friend who was killed, martyred actually, whose name was Medgar W. Evers. And like him, he was on many of the death lists of the Ku Klux Klan, right? I mean, the Ku Klux Klan had these lists of people they wanted killed. And so he was on the list, and he traveled with a .38 Smith & Wesson revolver and a .44 Winchester carbine, and simply spreading the knowledge that he had those weapons and he was willing to use them, he believes, kept his enemies at bay. So Salter was not killed, like his friend Evers, because he was able to carry firearms with him, and everybody knew that he did so, he was able to preserve his life and work hard in the civil rights movement. Now, Salter was not unique among civil rights activists in this regard, Sam. The anti-slavery leader Frederick Douglass called a good revolver, quote, the true remedy for the fugitive slave bill, end of quote. And also a civil rights icon, Fannie Lou Hamer, said, quote, I keep a shotgun in every corner of my bedroom, end of quote. Moving on to Rosa Parks, and everybody knows who Rosa Parks is, I hope. She was the black lady who refused to move to the back of the bus, you know, sit in the back of the bus. She sat where she wanted to on the bus, and of course, buses were segregated in her day, and whites were supposed to be able to sit in the front of the bus, and the blacks were supposed to move back and sit in the back of the bus. And of course, Rosa Parks refused to do so. She was arrested, taken off of the bus, but ultimately, she was given the right to sit anywhere she wanted, and it was really a hallmark as a victory for the civil rights movement. Because after that time, you know, the laws began to change, the civil rights began to grow, and were enjoyed by more and more black people over the years. She said she once described her dinner table, Sam, as quote, covered with guns, while civil rights activists met for a strategy session in her home. And you can just imagine that if you're going to meet, talk about your civil rights, and yet you're living in a nation which historically has not granted you any type of these rights, and you know that you're on a death list or a list from the Ku Klux Klan, they want to kill you, then yeah, you'd be carrying guns for your self-protection, for your self-defense.
But I challenge the mainstream press to talk about reality when it comes to the historical context of civil rights, when it comes to treating all men equal, endowed by their creator with inalienable rights. Let's talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know why they won't. All right, we got a bunch of other subjects to cover before we let Lowell fly, though. But I'm telling you right now, if we're going to study Black History Month, let's talk about all the facts, shall we? Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The Democratic Party moved very far to the left during the Obama era and left it without a message that will resonate with most of American society, insisted former Democratic Senator and one-time Democratic presidential aspirant Jim Webb during a February 12th Meet the Press interview. Rather than focusing on matters of substance that address real problems, party leaders and activists have become consumed with identity politics, and they've lost the key part of their base, he contends. When you can't have a Jefferson Jackson dinner, which was a primary celebratory event of the Democratic Party for years, because Jefferson and Jackson were slaveholders, the party has clearly lost its political bearings, Webb declared. They were also great Americans in their day. Something different has happened to the Democratic Party, he continued. They've lost white working people, and flyover land. And you saw in this election what happens when people get frustrated enough that they say, I'm not going to take this. While pointedly declining to say how he had voted in the 2016 presidential election, Webb said that Trump's victory could have a lasting positive impact. There is an aristocracy now that pervades American politics, Webb observed. It's got to be broken somehow in both parties, and I think that's what the Trump message was that echoed so strongly in these flyover communities. While insisting that my vote is private to me, Webb acknowledged that I did not endorse Hillary Clinton. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Gregg.
My sister was smoking, and I watched her. She asked me if I wanted some, and I said sure, and she taught me how to smoke, and that was my first experience.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
Both my parents smoke. I mean, seeing them smoke, watching them, thinking, well, they do it, it's not going to hurt me.
Smoking sends mixed messages to your children.
They just recently found out. I just told my mom, so she was shocked, very shocked.
I think parents have a big influence on whether or not their children smoke. Because even if the parent says that they don't agree with it, it really doesn't hold a lot of water. I mean, you can say, I don't agree with you smoking, but when you light up 5 minutes later, it doesn't hold a lot of water.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, before we move on, though, it is Black History Month, and guns played a pivotal role in blacks and others being treated fairly in this country and eventually having their rights protected. And so we're going to review the reality for blacks, and we're going to talk about Black History Month, and let's talk about all the history, shall we? Were there wrongs done by whites to blacks? Without question. Do we back those or support those? Absolutely not. Do we believe in slavery for anybody? Of course not. What's wrong with you people to even think such? Slavery by anybody to anybody is evil. It comes from the pit of hell, folks, and should be stopped immediately. Nevertheless, we can't be too critical of our founders. They were born into such a societal reality, and it took a long time to make those changes, and we celebrate those changes as well. Any quick comments on this, Kurt, before we move along?
You know, all I got to say is, you know, when it comes to guns, they're not the problem. The problem is what people do either without them or, you know, in some cases with them. And they are the great equalizer. That's where a good tool is used.
All right.
To help
Excellent.
People.
Moving along, there's a volley going on in the Olympic state of Utah, legislatively speaking. We got an Article 5 convention going on, a push for it, at least in the state of Utah. They got the legislation HJR 3. We really were concerned when it went out of committee. It got voted for in the affirmative by even many of our friends who were just absolutely disappointed in over this. I guess we just got to agree to disagree. It's getting worse, Lowell.
It sure is, Sam. As you mentioned, it was approved by the Utah House a couple of weeks ago by a vote of 45-29-1. That's a pretty convincing vote. But like you say, many of our friends in the legislature, typically friends of liberty, are being misled into believing that simply because the Article 5 convention is mentioned in the Constitution, it's therefore constitutional, and therefore we must exercise it in order to retain our constitutional rights, our constitutional form of government. And of course, the way they put it, they want to exercise that article in order to put the national government back into its constitutional cage. But you and I both know, Sam, that the constitutional cage of which we speak is the Constitution itself. In other words, the principles of that document constitute the cage in which our national government functions. And their current behavior clearly demonstrates their disrespect for the Constitution. They clearly encroach on the rights of the state. They clearly encroach on the rights of the citizenry. They clearly are not following the Constitution. And so any attempt to amend the document, which they are currently ignoring for the most part, in my opinion, is simply foolish. And that's why I call this the folly of an Article 5 convention. This HJR 3 mentions the crushing national debt, which I don't dispute. It mentions the manipulative federal mandates, most of which are not funded. I do not dispute that. The federal government has ceased to follow the U.S. Constitution. It mentions that, and I don't dispute that.
And by the way, let's be very clear. We support all the reasons they want a convention. Okay, we understand the problems and the violations of the Constitution, but I think Dr. Scott Bradley, who joins us quite often on Liberty Roundtable Live as well, put it most succinctly. He says, look, if you've got a problem with marriage, what you don't do is attack the institution of marriage and attack the ground rules of marriage and change the game and say, oh, you know, we used to require fidelity to marriage. We don't require that anymore. We used to expect people to be open and honest. That's no longer necessary. We used to, you know, people used to share money and care for one another. That's no longer a part of the marriage bond or covenant or expectation anymore. When somebody gets sick, you don't need to really take care of them anymore. That's kind of an old hat idea. And attacking the framework of marriage isn't the answer. The answer is to return there to and have fidelity to. And we submit to you the same thing's true with a constitutional convention or convention of the states or Article 5 or whatever words people want to use. The reality that we need to focus on is this. That's an extreme nuclear reaction. You might as well secede from the union if you're going to do that. In my mind, that clause was only put in place, if you study the founders, for situations where there was no other choice but to use that in an effort to keep the country together again. Other than that, there is no, in my opinion, advantage for it. There's plenty of other options. People say to me, well, Sam, those options aren't working. My response is because we're not exercising them. That's why. Because Americans aren't engaged enough. That's why. And so to me, the nuclear option of attacking the marriage institution as the example or the supreme law of the land framework is not the answer.
Well put, Sam. And here's a couple other practical considerations for our listeners. They talk about the fiscal irresponsibility of the federal government, and if we go and amend that document, I mean, it already has constraints in it. It says it expressly defines the powers of Congress, right? And they're going far beyond that, obviously. But if we, in a mechanistic way, require the federal government to balance the budget, for example, they will not decrease spending to balance the budget. They will increase the tax burden to balance the budget. And we will find ourselves, instead of paying, you know, a 15 or 28% tax or whatever, you know, that might double, that might triple, because they will then blame the tax increase on a balanced budget amendment, which they say requires them now to balance the budget. And so they can then point to the BBA, the balanced budget amendment, as the reason why they have to increase our taxes. It just gives them another reason to increase our tax burden. Much, much better would be, if this goes to amendment, obviously, would be an amendment to cut spending, right? I mean, just limit their spending. But it's already limited, Sam. That's why it's so foolish to think that a change in the document is going to change behavior. That's not going to work. Limiting the terms of office is also a bad idea. That idea was expressly rejected by the framers because limiting the terms of office makes them into lame ducks. And lame ducks are the worst kind of legislators because they have no compunction about voting the wrong way, knowing they're not going to be reelected.
In other words, it's a check and balance there. You always have the opportunity to stay, therefore you want to behave. You also have to deal with the voters if they're anxiously engaged to where, you know what, there can be punishment or not. It all depends on how you behave. Whereas a forced lame duck scenario would mean, you know what, no matter what, I'm out anyway. I might as well just do whatever I want to do while I'm there and get my gettings while I got it. Kind of an idea. And what we want is a check and balance. And the way it currently is the ultimate check and balance.
Exactly. Legislators are far more willing to listen to their constituency if they are worried that someone might run to replace them and, you know, boot them out of their seat. They are far more willing to listen to the constituency.
The folly of an Article 5 convention, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, Lowell, in this article about this, you point out several things that we can actually do to make a difference, not needing an Article 5, right?
That's right. We're a solutions radio, Sam, as you say. I appreciate you saying that from time to time, because we do have solutions. And here it is. The solution is nullification. And this is what Thomas Jefferson and James Madison said was the, quote, rightful remedy, end of quote. It was nullification. In other words, any time the general government or the central government goes outside the bounds of the Constitution, the states have not only an opportunity but a duty to nullify that particular action. And so I've been saying for many years now, Sam, that any executive order, any congressional statute, any judicial opinion, and any bureaucratic regulation that lies outside the bounds of the U.S. Constitution, it should be ignored and or repudiated, meaning declared null and void. And the states should be the ones to do this. Instead of allowing the federal government to tax their citizens directly, the states should interpose and then indemnify their citizens who refuse to comply with coercive confiscation of property. States should legalize the use of gold and silver coin. And as you know, and I've said even on this broadcast, Sam, Utah has done that. We have legalized the use of gold and silver coin in the state of Utah, but what we have not done yet is abide by those 17 famous words in the Constitution that no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. But that's what's got to happen, Sam. States have to go back and say, look, we're not going to accept anything but silver and gold coin in the payment of debt. And if we do that, then we will let honest money drive out the fiat money. If the federal government cannot tax the citizens, Sam, and what they print is not accepted by the states, then they will not have the money sufficient to support the current welfare state and the current warfare state. And truly, it would be restrained to only that money that the states...
Hold on, Lol. Quick pause on your radio. Behavior. Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio. And this is a very serious issue, ladies and gentlemen. Very serious indeed. There are ways, my fellow Americans, to absolutely shut down out-of-control, belligerent, unconstitutional, immoral government, especially at the federal level. Instead of allowing the federal government to tax their citizens directly, the states should interpose and indemnify their citizens who refuse to comply with the coercive agenda and the confiscation of property. States could get this done. They could use only gold and silver coinage. The states must force the federal government to follow the U.S. constitutional provisions. They can do it by nullification. Any executive order, any law passed that's unconstitutional, they can simply say, look, we're dual sovereigns. We haven't given you jurisdiction or delegated authority for that. Sorry. And I know somebody will say, Sam, it's just not that simple. Even Donald got there and realizes how hard it is, really, to govern. But not if you understand the proper role of limited government, the supreme law of the land. I really think that Donald needs to start with the money issue and the pro-life issue. And if he'd really start there, I think he could gain more ground. What he's trying to do is meddle in all these complicated legislative fiascos like Dodd-Frank and Sarbanes-Oxley and all these other complicated. He needs to just step back and say, look, we're going to be unequivocally pro-life, or we're going to call on God. We're going to do our best and ask for blessings. We're going to move back to honest money because nothing's honest until you have honest money. And he could start there. Lowell, what do you think? Is it as hard as they're making it sound?
Follow their tactics and follow that their line of thinking. See, they want you to get bogged down. They want to bog Trump down in the minutiae of inconsequential things. Now, I'm not saying Dodd-Frank is not consequential. I studied that enough to know that it is consequential and that making that change that he's suggesting would be a good thing. But like you, I think we demonstrate our allegiance to God more powerfully by what you just said, taking a pro-life position and just, you know, in broad gain broad support for doing the right thing, for sound and legal money, honest money, and for the protection of life, and then we would bring down the blessings of heaven in our behalf. Alex de Tocqueville is credited as having said that America is good because she's great because she is good, and if she ever ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great. I think one could reasonably argue that America has ceased to be great, and it is because we have ceased to be good. And when Trump talked about making America great again, you know, he didn't focus on being good, and I wish he would. I think that's a winning argument, both politically and practically speaking. If we want to draw upon the powers of heaven and accrue the blessings of divine providence, then we need to protect life and return to sound and honest money.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. We need to also make sure that we back out of all these immoral, unconstitutional, unjust wars to tell God we're serious, that we're not a bloodthirsty people, that we're serious about protecting and preserving life at every level. So those are my personal directives to Donald Trump.
One more thing, Sam, that I'll toss in here is the CSPOA. One reason I support the CSPOA so much is because it is a solution. It's one more way of nullification. I don't expect just the state to nullify federal overreach. I also expect county sheriffs, county clerks, county assessors, you know, anybody at the county, at the local level to do so as well. Because, as you know, the sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer in the county. And if a federal officer comes into his county, he does so only at the behest of the chief law enforcement officer in that county. If the sheriff doesn't want the BLM in his county, or if he doesn't want the Forest Service or the Fish and Game or whatever, he can order them out of his county. And this is a nullification of federal overreach. And it's not just recent development, Sam. I think back to my Lemhi County in Idaho, where I grew up in the early 90s. Brett Barcelo was our sheriff. And he got into there was a rancher there named Gene Hussey, who was accused of killing a wolf, a protected wolf, on his property. This wolf had been destroying some of his property, chewing up his lambs and his calves. Anyway, the wolf was turned up dead on his property, and the Fish and Game came to confiscate all of Gene Hussey's firearms because they wanted to do some ballistics testing of his firearms with what lead they found in the wolf. And Gene called up the sheriff and said, "Sheriff, you better get out here because they're armed and I'm armed, and I don't want this to turn to bloodshed." And so Brett Barcelo and his deputy went out to the ranch and ordered the Fish and Game off the property. They did not have a search warrant. They did not have a valid reason to be on the ranch. In other words, no search warrant. And so they had a 10 to 15 minute standoff, as I understand, as the report goes. And basically, the sheriff won. The BLM, I'm sorry, the Fish and Game, they backed down, left the ranch, left the property. And so this is just one more instance, one more example of a local sheriff understanding his authority, standing up to federal encroachment, and winning. And so, I just have to make that point that the CSPOA and any other groups like them, are the ones doing the heavy lifting, the hard work of nullification. I celebrate that. I applaud that and encourage all citizens to do the same throughout the nation.
Amen to that. All right. I don't know if we're going to get to all the topics today, but I want to really at least mention this one.
Yeah.
We're talking about the shortcomings of plurality voting in Utah. They passed SB 114 a couple of years ago, right?
No, they just passed that two Fridays ago.
Oh, they just passed it. All right, go ahead.
Right. In fact, it passed two Thursdays ago and went through the Senate in one day, basically. It was actually assigned to committee on Wednesday, and then they moved it to a different committee so they could fast-track it. It passed on Thursday unanimously, right, 23-0. In the Senate, it went to the House, and it was on a fast track for passage on Friday. And finally, a bunch of us here in Utah County took some action, put together a letter, and encouraged the House leadership not to put it on fast track, but to let it follow its normal course, committee hearings and public hearing, public input, and so forth. And we were able to stop it. Now, it was on the agenda to be heard this morning, Sam, in just 10 minutes. However, last night when we looked at the agenda, it had been removed from the agenda. A lot of that was because a bunch of us made a pretty big stink about it, and we think the leadership just took it off because they knew they were going to just get massacred at the committee meeting this morning. that's one of the tactics of government is, you know, they'll put something on the committee hearing, committee meeting agenda. People will get you know, excited about attending the committee meeting, and then at the very last minute they take it off the agenda. So here you're left with having taken a day off work, traveled to the Capitol, prepared for testimony in a committee hearing, and voila, it's not on the committee agenda anymore. And I guess the good news is that at least they took it off last night instead of waiting until, you know, 7:45 this morning to take it off. But the merits of the bill, Sam, we need to jump into them, because plurality voting is a plague that afflicts election law throughout the country.
And I guess my confusion on this a little bit was that a couple of years ago they did do something to make a change on this, and now this is supposedly a further abusing of this, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're exactly right about that, Sam. In 2014, there's a bill number SB 54, Senate Bill 54, which allowed anybody to gather signatures to get placed on the primary ballot alongside the party's two top choices. But what the SB 54 did not do was resolve the plurality problem. So once you have three or more candidates on a ballot, then you can run into a plurality problem or a spoiler problem. Two like-minded people split the vote between them, allowing the other ideologically disparate candidate to win the election with only 40%, for example. Two guys, we'll just call their ideology blue, and they both get 30%, and then the red guy with the red ideology, he gets 40%. He wins the election, even though 60% of the electorate had the blue ideology. And so that's the spoiler problem, and it truly does afflict our nation in election law throughout the country. We see this over and over.
Now, we've only got a second, but we want everyone to know the Utah Republican Party also dropped its federal lawsuit appeal. Quickly tell everybody why that's good. You've only got about 20 seconds, though.
Well, it's not good, and a bunch of us want to continue the lawsuit. We'll be talking about that in the days to come, Sam. I really appreciate the opportunity to share these issues with your listenership.
So let's make it clear then. We support the lawsuit appeal. We don't support the stopping of the appeal. In other words, we should have continued.
Yes, exactly right. The appeal is we want the party to be able to determine its own nominees. We don't want the legislature telling us how we determine our nominees.
In other words, they gave up too quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Lowell.
You bet.
This nation shall endure.